So, welcome to the Passion Sunday, also known as Palm Sunday. And sorry, Pete, I'm scared I'm going to tap that with joy. And so, you know, this day has so many various meanings. But the truth is what we have been talking about, and thank God for Roger and his brilliant choices in songs, is that this is the day where we really come to the knowing and really get with that and become comfortable with the knowing of who we are and whose we are. Because can you imagine walking into a place or a space where you know in a short time you are going to be accused of something and to die? I mean, think about that right now. Think about if you were to walk into your home or walk into your place of work, and it had been prophesied to you that this is the end. You're walking into the last of something. That you're giving up, you're offering up your life for something better. How many of us would really walk the walk? I thank you. Many of us wouldn't. Sometimes we find ourselves there and we kind of get the courage and do it. But that's what Jesus did. He knew that every moment, and you know what, actually, thank you, because I think our service people know that when they give their lives. They don't know where they're going into if it's wartime, but they give their lives for the service of us. In many ways, Jesus does the same thing. It's interesting that Jesus walked in on a donkey instead of a stallion, because most people who are deemed the Lord of Lords, you know, any warring king, just like his relative David, which is why the Jews thought that the Savior would be of the lineage of David, because he was the great king. He was the one who brought them out of so much strife, so much limitation. And so, of course, the person who was going to save them was this another warring king. But Jesus rode in on a donkey. Actually, it's interesting, the Bible, all the old Bibles, I'm old enough to remember that in the verbiage in the Bible, it said he would walk in on a, well, I won't say the word here. I've gotten in trouble for that. It's interesting, you won't find that, unless you have an old Bible, you won't find that word anymore. But that is what he walked in on. And it was a form of not being like the king of kings, this warring king. He was walking into this place where he was giving up his life in peace. You know, in the olden days, if walking in on a donkey, usually the stallion, you had to be rich as well. A donkey was humbling yourself to be of the service, not of just the rich, but of the poor, because mostly the poor working class had donkeys. And so he walked into this space, in this place, saying that he was humble and he wasn't here for war. He was here to bring peace to each and every one of us. So this is what we are here to do. As Jesus triumphantly moves through, let us go back a little ways. Last week, which represents a week, not only for us literally, but a week in the Bible, we talked about how Jesus is a superstar because out of the dead, from the dead, he brought back to life Lazarus. Can you imagine that? Seeing that your best friend, your buddy, someone that you love extremely, you walk there and you find out that they're dead. Sisters are blaming you because if you would have been there, he wouldn't have died. The Jewish law and the Jewish priest are there. And you have the nerve to say, you know what? He lives. And they're like, he's been dead for 4 days. And you go, no. You don't know who I am and who I allow work through me for miracles. Can you imagine going to a grave site, digging up the grave, casting the stone aside, bringing up the casket, opening it up, and out pops up your beloved. So he's a superstar because enough people, it wasn't like he was like a gossip column or something like the Inquirer or the National or whatever those things are, that you kind of wonder, is this too real, too good to be true? There were witnesses there. And in Jerusalem, the main city, the word has gotten out. So they are happy. If there was anyone who was a disbeliever in him, they know now. And so they are anxiously waiting for Jesus to arrive. They've heard about him. They're gathering up like a superstar parade. And when they see him coming, they do what he did here. They offer up cloaks and tree branches. But it's interesting what he wrote in on this. Don't be a donkey's ass. You heard that? Before that, he knew, because it was written in the Jewish law, that the Savior would come riding on a colt. And so we don't know how, but the Bible says that he instructed his disciples, two of his disciples, to go to a particular land where they would find a donkey, a colt. Not just a donkey, not a mature one, but a baby, a youngster, tied up. They're supposed to untie this wild animal and bring them here. Now, imagine that as well. The owners don't know that they're coming because Jesus says, if the owner questions you, just say, the Lord has sent you to get this thing and to bring it to me. So the disciples of faith now go to steal a colt. A colt. Can you imagine this whole scenario? The disciples don't really know what's really going on, but they do as they are told. And it happens the way Jesus said. So picture this colt, this baby, this immature animal. Ladies and gentlemen, each and every one of us is an immature animal. Obviously, I don't want to call you a donkey's ass, but, you know, in all of us, in our consciousness, lays forth the symbol of the donkey. That young animal, which is symbolized by a young thought or a young feeling, that is stubborn, that wants to balk and doesn't want to move. Have anyone experienced a donkey that doesn't want to move? Don't we have those thoughts when ourselves that we want to get rid of them, but for some reason they won't move out of our mind? That fear, those erroneous thoughts that we keep trying to pluck out, but stubbornly it stays there. That is what this young infant of a donkey is representing to us. Now bring forth the thought that now you know that you are coming to your death. What kind of infant new thoughts would be coming to your mind now? That you're about to walk into a place where you know you will, and it doesn't feel very triumphant, that you're about to lay down your life. Can you imagine what kind of animal thoughts, sensory thoughts are coming to your mind now? Thoughts of cut and run. Thoughts of, I'm not going there. Thoughts of, I can't do this. Those are the thoughts that are represented by this donkey. And it's told that as soon as this donkey, this infant donkey, this colt, was brought to Jesus, it just yielded to the love, to the peace, to the truth of what Jesus, I was about to say was, is within us. The disciples saw it and they put their cloak over it. Without hesitation, without any bucking, without any stubbornness, Jesus was able to climb up on this donkey and ride it. So what is the magic touch that Jesus brings to us that we need to remember? It is that blessing of bringing peace, bringing the knowing, clearing and controlling our thoughts, clearing and controlling our feelings, and for you in the back, you can't see that he or she. She is looking back at he. And he's kind of looking like this at me, like, keep going, I'm working with you here. To dispel any fear, Jesus was able to grab hold of each, because remember Jesus now, it isn't Jesus the Christ, this is Jesus the man. Jesus, the man, was able to take control over his fears. And this control was so beautiful. It was so at peace. He was so at peace that even it stilled the wild beast within him. It stilled the wild beast outside of him. That is what dominion is all about. You know, in the Bible, when we talk about Genesis, we're talking about how humans have dominion over stuff. And we have this skewed vision is that we have this control, that we are all powerful, and that we are supposed to have it to our demand and only our demand. Remember, this is a man of peace. The only way that we have dominion over anything is not by the warring of it, by bringing darkness or hatred. To give peace is to bring peace and love. And as soon as any type of area where we have fear, and fear of our lives, and fear of anything, all this lesson says is bring peace and love to it. And all those animal thoughts will come into alignment to God's will of good within you and as you. And so this is the way that Jesus is able to walk in a triumphant way into a place that is deemed a place of peace. Metaphysically, Jerusalem illustrates a place of peace. How do you come to peace in a time of fear, in a time of darkness like we're expressing in this world right now? In a place where we are literally, hopefully dying of this world to evolve to a greater element. We don't bring hate to it. We don't bring our issues to it, no matter who we like or don't like, politically, regionally, citywide, nationwide, worldwide. You send love to it. And if each and every one of us sends love into our world, our temple, will be at peace. And all the wild thoughts and feelings will dissipate. And it just takes one. The Jesus that is within you to show itself. And everyone will throw palms and ask, save me. But you know what? You don't have to ask anyone else to save you because all the power is within you. There's a love relationship between you and God, and God is guiding you each and every way on how you can release and let go. It's just a matter of letting go of those fears. But as humans, once the story goes in the Bible, once Jesus rises through, is at peace, everyone loves him, know that most of the same people who loved him will forsake him. Jesus, while in Jerusalem, does what a good rabbi does. He goes to the temple. And what he finds at the temple, that's what I love about him. He's completely human. When he goes to the temple, he sees that things aren't right in the temple. And, you know, this is why I say that he has some anger issues. This is when he went to the temple. Yes. He saw that the temple wasn't being used on the right purpose. He saw that people were selling stuff and there were money changers and that it just wasn't sacred anymore. That the temple wasn't being used for what it was meant to be used for. Again, beloveds, remember the song that was done for the meditation. You are the temple. Are you using your temple correctly? Are you allowing your fears? Are you allowing the money changers to happen? What did Jesus do? Jesus went berserk. He started throwing across tables. He chased out the money chasers. He wouldn't allow anything to happen or anyone to take anything into the temple that was not supposed to go into the temple. Now, I know in our culture, this is a little surprising because we always talk about Jesus being home. And Jesus would never do that. No, Jesus was a man, human, who had the senses come through him. You know, the people who say that he was all peace and quiet, yeah, the true inside of him was peace, but he was someone who was also being tormented like we do. The story here, it's all right. It's all right that when we're seeing things that we get a little scared, but we have to release and let it go. We don't allow the fear to take us. We grab a hold of our animal issues and not allow the donkey, no matter how many times it comes, the wild animal, no matter what kind of wild animal it is, to take control over you. It is always coming back to a peace. There's always an element of you coming back to yourself and no longer allowing things to come into your temple, no longer allowing fears to come into your temple, no longer allowing feeding your temple anything other than what it is to nurture itself, to keep it strong and open to the presence of God. That is what metaphysically, Fomorian metaphysics, is represented in going to the temple. It isn't about doing harm to yourself. It's about purifying yourself. It's about sanctifying yourself, blessing yourself and saying no more. No more will I treat my body. No more will I treat my consciousness, most importantly. No longer will I feed my consciousness the ideas of anything less than the truth of the love of God. No longer will I physically feed it anything harmful. I choose to release and let go and let God. And I do it joyously so that I can walk out triumphantly and so that no matter what comes to me, I will stand strong and know that ultimately I will be free. So as you move forward during this Lenten week, remember that no matter what comes up to you, no matter what comes up before you, within your consciousness, outside of your consciousness, you are not only an overcomer, triumphantly walk through, fearlessly saying that no matter what is here to come and die, I willingly let it die. I release, I let go of anything within my life, within my consciousness, to go. If it isn't good for me, I release it. But I've been with this person for forever. If they're not good for you, release them. I've been at this job and only have a year to for retirement. If it is something detrimental to your health and your mental state, release it and trust that God has something better for you. Just ask God, how do I release it and where do I go? I trust in you filling me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I will release it and let it go, knowing that I am here for something greater. I am here to be something greater. So move forward fearlessly. Know that this walk, as you move out into beyond these doors are an illusion. There's nothing that separates us from God. There's nothing that separates us except for these walls that are an illusion. That if this is peace in here, there's peace out there. Triumphantly take your walk this way or that way, and know that this walk, that Jesus' walk, is your walk. It is. You are triumphant. You can have peace. Yes. And? Exactly. Peace is ours. She's looking all around like, yes. Peace is ours. Yes? Yes. Most importantly, we are peace. I am peace. I am peace.
I am the temple.
And I am peace.
I am peace.
The affirmation for the week. Let us say it together. My mind is still and at peace. I am calm and at ease. The Spirit of God is flowing through me right now. Breathe that in. Oh, let it out. Oh, let's say that again. My mind is still and at peace. I am calm and at ease. The Spirit of God is flowing through me now. Yes, it is. Amen. Amen.